city. It's the Gary Knowles Show. And now, your host, Gary Knowles. I still remember
when you used to be now. Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knowles on location. Today, we're going to find how tomatoes are really good against heart disease from La Corde, France, a major study. We have about eight other important studies today, and then we're going to deal with some issues. We have another, number 53, in our ongoing challenges to the objectivity, or lack thereof, of Wikipedia and its edits. But now we're tying in Google with Wikipedia. An original article, and it's not long, it's short, with Richard Gale myself, entitled Google and Wikipedia, the Internet's Voice for the Corporate Deep State. And it's published on the Progressive Radio Network, and you can go to prn.fm to download it. And I'll give that today. Also, we have supported the all of the climate change initiatives, at least those that are practical, where we challenge, not because we're opposed to the Ms. Cortez, but she does not have the scholarship, nor does she have the time, nor the patience to sit and read carefully about what will really help the environment. Some of the things she suggests are doable, most are not. And a lot of the people, especially the corporate Democrats, are supporting clean nuclear. Well, Obama supported clean coal, and there is no clean coal. He also supported nuclear. The Clintons supported both coal and nuclear, and they would argue that they were environmentally sound. We would argue that is not the case. You can take an issue that is opposite someone without being against everything that a particular person stands for. We're going to do the same today when we give you some input that you did not know, that has not been made public, about the truth behind Extinction Rebellion. Now, we just finished filming the latest demonstrations by the Extinction Rebellion, which I support down on Wall Street. And Roland Marconi was down there from our team, and then he brought the footage back up, and Valerie's in our office in New York and editing it for the final segments. And just like I have suggested that we support Greta Thunberg, because if you have something against a person, be specific. Which points is she making that you could take issue with? And then make that issue. So there are people behind Greta that we're taking issue with, and we've exposed them. But that does not mean that her message is not accurate, and it doesn't mean that she couldn't be a lightning rod for motivating millions of young people to start doing things that they would not otherwise have done, things that can make a difference, such as, and we went through that yesterday, when a letter to Greta was published online that Richard Gale and I had written, all positive, all things we can do as individuals and collectively, without the state, the federal government, corporations, or the body politic limiting it or in any way subverting it. I will give my opinions today on the people behind the Extinction Rebellion and share why we should be protesting. I support the demonstrators. I do not support the agenda behind it. And we'll get into that. Write down this number because you never know. We're heard all over the world. We're heard at all these other syndicated stations. And I don't like taking this time to talk about something specific, and they're going to say, but that doesn't involve us. This was what does. You never know what can happen to take this program off the air at your local station. So here's a number that you can listen live Monday to Friday, noon to 1. Write it down, please. And it's got an expanded bandwidth. 774-337-6068, 774-337-6068. But if you can only listen over the archives, let me give you that number, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. Now to health and nutrition. First off, I want people to know that the more you do by putting more fruits and vegetables into your body and fresh-made juices, the greater the lessening of the assaults against your cells. Your average cell gets about 10,000 assaults, or what are called gene alterations, per day. So if you are a person now 40, and if you do not change, and if you're getting that amount, then by, let's say, you're 60, you're actually closer to 100 biologically. Because the more those assaults occur, the less likely that DNA is going to repair itself, and you're going to be less in NAD and Q10 and all these other nutrients necessary for repair and phytonutrients. But if you just stop all pro-inflammatory items in your body, you can cut that by about half. I'm talking about French fries and hot dogs and coffee and colas and high fructose corn syrup and meat, highly allergenic foods, processed foods, GMO foods. So right off the bat, you're going to look younger than a regular 40-year-old, feel younger, and you're going to be reversing that biological age down. So one of the things we can do is we can bring red food into our diet. Watermelon, red peppers, red strawberries and raspberries, a red plum, even a blood orange. All of those are rich in lycopene, L-Y-C-O-P-E-N-E. Now, most people get their lycopene from tomatoes, and that's good. And the University of Sheffield talked about how that benefits a human being. That's just one study. But then there's another study. This is from Lycord, France, and it's about the nutrient-rich tomato is effective against heart disease. And they're saying that a carotenoid-rich tomato has been found to inhibit a key process that leads to the thickening of the arterial wall, which is typical of heart disease. That's important because when you can lower your glucose, your blood sugar, insulin levels, triglyceride levels, all of that's good. But when you have a high-fat meal, it reverses. High-fat meals, typical American meal, up goes insulin, up goes triglycerides, up goes cholesterol, up goes glucose. So that's why, to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease, have more fresh tomato juice. Make it yourself. Oh, I love to make tomato juice. You get some wonderful vine-ripened organic tomatoes. And what I do is I take some water, boil it, and just dip the tomato in for like 20 seconds. Take it right out, and then the skin peels right off. Then I put that into a blender. In the blender, also put some horseradish and mustard, cayenne pepper. Yeah, and some a small amount of lemon juice, like a tablespoon of lemon juice, and ginger juice. And then I blend that up, and it's really tangy. I mean, you have to like spicy. I happen to like spicy, but all those spices are good, all anti-inflammatory, and it helps your heart. It opens your vessels. It's got nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is great for preventing heart disease. In fact, if anyone knows Bernie Sanders, and we did get a message to Bernie Sanders' special assistant, person right beside him. So he does know that if he wants our help, we're happy to help him and put him on a heart-healthy diet. Or if he doesn't want our help, we have a list of holistic board-certified cardiologists who can do the same. But in any case, one of the first things I would do, I'd make sure that he has beet juice every day, twice a day. I'd give him coenzyme Q10, probably starting around 300 and going to 600 units of ubiquinol. I'd give him resveratrol, L-carnitine. I'm not going to tell you the dosages, but I would give him magnesium sulfate. I'd make sure he has high heat units of cayenne. There's a whole list of at least 20 items I would give him that within 3 or 4 days, the epithelial start to heal. The blood would naturally thin. His heart would become stronger. And he would have a chance to complete recovery and even be optimally healthy. So just let Bernie know. He can call our office at 646 926-5422. And we also have the award-winning documentary, Preventing and Reversing Heart Disease Naturally. You know, send it to him as a gift. All right? We want to help him. And this way, maybe he could change and stop eating junk food and help save his life. He needs bioactive carotenoids in his body. And the tomato, with a combination of lycopene, can provide that. Also, sulforaphane. Sulforaphane is a compound in cruciferous vegetables. And what does it do according to China Medical University in Taiwan? It kills colon cancer cells. That's terrific. And by the way, that's not the first thing that I saw. Oh, wow, a new study. No. There's an increasing number of peer-reviewed studies emerging promoting the benefits of eating cruciferous vegetables. I have a scoop of cruciferous powder every day. When I'm on the road, I have it sent to where I'm going to be, and so it doesn't get a hassle because I don't go out to eat in restaurants when I'm traveling. So these vegetables are not only rich in dietary fiber that supports digestive health, but they also are good sources of phytonutrients that can reduce the risk of cancer. For example, there's a chemical called isothiocyanates, C-Y-A-N-A-T-E-S, isothiocyanates. Now, why do I spell these things out all the time? Because remember, we're heard worldwide. In a lot of places, English is a second or even third language, and I want to make sure that people can write things down and so they can look them up and understand more of why they're important. And isothiocyanates, which are formed through the breakdown of what are called glycosinolates, are found in cruciferous vegetables. We're talking about broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, kale, watercress, radishes, and by the way, mustard. Yeah, mustard. I love taking a big sweet onion. And what you do, you slice the onion as thick as you want, and then you run it under cold water for just 10 seconds. And that will remove some of the volatile oils that give you the taste and a little of the burn. So it's much smoother now. And then I put some stone ground mustard on it. And then on top of that, I might put some vegan cheese, you know, like a sharp cheddar. And they're making it now with coconut. So it tastes exactly like regular cheese, has the same mouthfeel, but of course it's all healthy and non-dairy. And so then I put that on top of that. Then I'll put a beefsteak organic tomato on top of that. And then I spritz lemon juice on top of the tomato, so you get the salty quality but no sodium, and just that. And then that's called a grazing meal. You know, it just and fills you up. And you could also add some avocado to that as well. In any case, make sure you're getting your sulforaphane by eating cruciferous vegetables, and that can help kill colon cancer cells. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal, the American Journal of Chinese Medicine. Also, prenatal stress could affect your body's or your baby's brain. This is from King's College London, published in the peer-reviewed journal Biological Psychiatry. Why is this important? Because you have no idea how many people who've asked my advice about becoming pregnant and who are having fertility issues, and I don't believe in going to those fertility doctors. And so I helped them, and they were able to conceive healthy children. But I said, plan on this taking 2 years. Why? Why? Because any stresses that you're not resolving, any epigenetic trauma you've suffered from, any toxins in the body, the toxicants that can alter a man's sperm, so your baby is born but may be born congenitally defective or born with difficulties with learning, or dying of miscarriage, you can prevent that. Now, in this study published in Biological Psychiatry, they found that, and this is the head of advanced neuroimaging, Professor Serena Kansau, for the first time looked at the relationship between maternal stress, the mother's stress, and brain development in 251 premature babies, and they found evidence of impaired development of a white matter tract, and that what is called the uncinate fasciculus in babies whose mothers experience more stress in the prenatal period. So, when you realize how stressed some women are, and then imagine that they don't have a partner, and the stress of raising this child on their own, or they have a partner and there's a conflict in the marriage, or they have other stresses in their lives. And keep in mind, the white matter tract has been implicated in anxiety disorders. And adults that have an anxiety disorder may show changes in this tract. So, one more reason why, before a woman and her partner conceives, that they should go through a really quality, humanistic, de-stressing program so that the stress that she's holding epigenetically is not manifesting into that developing baby. Also, University of Copenhagen, low carb in type 1 diabetes improves glucose. So get rid of the refined carbohydrates, the sugars, the white rice, the white sugar, all right, the white flour products. You can help with that child that has got, and by the way, one of the reasons a lot of children are having an epidemic of type 1 diabetes, the toxicity of the vaccines. So those are just some of the latest things on health and healing I like to share with you. Oh, one last thing from Oregon State University. Raspberries have what is called ellagic acid, E-L-L-A-G-I-C. And that benefits from two studies. Articles in the Journal of Berry Research report that raspberry and the phytonutrients in the fruit could help support healthy body mass, meaning more muscle, less fat, and better motor function, meaning better balance, better coordination, and better strength. So that's terrific news. So raspberries or raspberry juice, raspberry puree, doesn't matter. They're all rich in a polyphenol that occurs in relatively high amounts of raspberry, ellagic acid, and raspberry ketone, or a combination of raspberry ketone and ellagic acid. So this is all good for your body. Oh, by the way, University of Helsinki, vitamin E can help protect older men from pneumonia. And that was published in Clinical Interventions in Aging. So that's the latest on health and nutrition. I'm Gary Nall. On tomorrow's show, I'm going to talk about transcendental meditation reducing stress and trauma in prisoners and fosters transformation. But I'm also going to say why we should completely eliminate our current penal system, the way we try prisoners, the whole no bail situation where a lot of prisoners who may be innocent have to plead guilty because they don't have the money for bail and hiring lawyers. Our entire system has to be changed. All of these for-profit prisons closed down, and we should be looking at civilized countries. We're one of the least civilized countries in the world, such as Norway and Denmark. And you think, where are your prisons? What? You're allowing prisoners to have keys to their cells and they can go out? They can go home? They can go in the movies? They can go for picnics? Why would you do that? Well, because it lessens the opportunity for them to commit crimes again, because they start to understand they have a responsibility to go back into society and be a good citizen, where probably before they were not. Can we learn from this? Yes. Do we want to learn? Not when there's hundreds of billions of dollars at stake. Okay, we'll talk about that. But when we come back in a moment, I'm going to share with you our latest challenge to Wikipedia. And also yesterday, we sent the board of directors and all officers of Wikipedia Corporation, Wikimedia Corporation, which actually controls Wikipedia, a legal letter. I will release this legal letter tomorrow, and that legal letter is attached to a document that shows that we are now inside all of their communications. We have so many examples you cannot imagine. And if they want to expunge all these communications, it's too late. We have it. And we show them where people editing pages who are supposed to be objective and unbiased are filled with hate and contempt for myself and all the other people. See, they never figured that we would ever get to their personal communications. We did. You're done. You're toast. But we're going to make sure that you all pay for what you've done to destroy good people's reputations, whole hundreds of thousands of clinicians, from acupuncturists to chiropractors, from homeopaths to an osteopath, to holistic preventative medical doctors, from holistic dentists to holistic nurses, from yoga and meditation and body-mind medicine. You have been on a rip and successful. You have denigrated entire groups of people, calling them lunatic charlatans. Tomorrow, the lawyers begin their actions. So, Jimmy Wells, my next article is about you, buddy. Yeah, we're creating a bio on Jimmy Wells, but at least we will be objective and we will be honest. And Jimmy, if you think it's not accurate, we give you the right to edit it. But we have all the background, including the people who protect your bio on there, Jimmy. Did you know that? The communications. We have it all. Don't piss me off, because then you're going to see what I'm capable of doing as a researcher. Not angry, but man, I do not let go of that bone until it is over. And we're just getting started on Wikipedia. And now we're looking into the backgrounds of everyone affiliated with Wikipedia. And you thought you were all anonymous? You were. Guess what? You're not. And those that got legal letters, now you're going to be served. Okay. And we have another 150 articles writing about Wikipedia. And then another 50 is going to hit you in the next 12 months. And we just now are 54. Oh, and by the way, everything we're doing, we're sending to the Inspector General of the Internal Revenue Service and every member of Congress and all states' attorney generals and all secretaries of state. So, let's see where this goes. And everything we're doing has been fully vetted for scholarship, accuracy, and a team of lawyers look at everything. Back in a moment to continue in seeking justice for hundreds of millions of people who are voiceless and hundreds of thousands of clinicians who would know how to fight, and hence they haven't. They've just been abused. Well, we're standing between them and Wikipedia. And Jimmy, I don't bluff, and I'm not afraid of anyone, anything, any agency. So, and you're going to see that starting with my next program, when it's all about Jimmy Wells. Back in a moment. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall. The title of this short piece is Google and Wikipedia, the Internet's Voice for the Corporate Deep State, with Richard Gale. Google is undoubtedly the single most powerful IT corporation, without second, in the world. The firm possesses the world's most popular search engine, which has been given congressional protection to abide by internet neutrality and to avoid ideological or political favoritism. Yet, in recent years, Google has also become a highly effective political machine. For example, In 2016, its algorithmic searches manipulated results favoring Hillary Clinton's campaign. As one of the Internet's major gatekeepers, it has the power to scrub sites or reduce their exposure, burying them in the lower abyss of its search engine. This is notably the case for sites dedicated to natural health information and scientific data that support complementary and alternative medical therapies. Some of these sites have managed to continue for many years without any significant criticism, and yet now they're scrubbed. They've been eliminated from being able to be reached by the average person. Mercola.com and GreenMedInfo, both quality sites, both victims of Google's censorship. Google claims that it stands by standards of objectivity and non-interference. Most of us all believe that its overarching mission is to organize the vast sum of humanity's knowledge and to make it available to the world. Surely, that's an honorable quest. Yeah, it is. However, during the past 3 years, whistleblowers have come forward to expose the company's actual closed-door agendas that aim to abandon its humanitarian mission and replace it with a virtual authoritarianism to serve the establishment or the deep state. There have been employees who have protested walkouts over this betrayal of the company's public image. They could care less. For every 1,000 employees that walk out for any reason, they've got 10,000 more waiting in the wings they can hire. Zach Forres is a former senior software engineer at Google's YouTube division who observed the company's blatant violations in its mission statement. Consequently, he released a trove of internal documents detailing Google's algorithmic discrimination and covert psychological ops to boost an authoritarian agenda. It's already well known that Google penetrates every aspect in the private lives of anyone who utilizes its products. According to Avoris, the company is now pushing an ideological narrative that is repressive against both the right and left wings of American political spectrum. Now, in one of the more egregious moves in Internet history, Google has been steadily launching a surreptitious purge of an increasing number of non-conventional medical websites that offer legitimate alternatives to pharmaceutically-based therapeutic protocols. Entire groups of clinicians and alternative medical practitioners, natural health news sites, personal health blogs, etc., are being erased from Google search capabilities. Even more of an interest is that one of the nation's leading advocacy organizations for protecting non-GMO farmers, meaning organic farmers, back-to-earth farmers, sustainable farmers, which acts as a watchdog for the health risks of industrial-grown, factory-farmed foods laced with toxic pesticides, the organization is called the Organic Consumer Association. It's been flagged by Google. Google is now a fully functioning intelligence operation for the corporate deep state. Recently, we got possession of Google's internal document, Search Quality Evaluations Guidelines. They've since erased it. Too late, we got it. Which provides instructions for Google website raters, or what the document calls, quote, search quality raters, R-A-T-E-R-S, to grade websites on a highly subjective criteria of reliability. Curiously, new raters are referred to, you guessed it, the second wick of witch in this, Wikipedia, and Wikipedia pages for information on antivirus and spyware application. One would think that Google is the globe's expert in the field. They don't need Wikipedia for this, but Google would like us to believe that their efforts to grade, rank, and even censor websites is because they want to protect websites' potential influence, for better or worse, quote, on a person's future happiness, health, financial stability, and safety, end quote. In particular, this concerns, quote, news and current events, civics, government and law, finance, shopping, health and safety, and groups of people. groups of people, wow, that means virtually anyone on the planet. Of course, each of these categories can be interpreted with a high degree of subjectivity, prejudice, and bias. But what is equally disturbing is Google's preferential treatment of the open source encyclopedia Wikipedia as a reputable source. During the past 24 months, our investigations should convince any person. Plain and simple, it's all laid out in over 54 articles on PRN.fm that you should question their objectivity. Never, ever should you rely upon Wikipedia with regard as a primary and accurate source of reliable information, to the point it is not. For any given controversial subject, such as genetically modified foods, alternative medical therapies, the dangers of pesticides, the dangers of 5G, vaccine safety, etc., there is almost nothing objectively beneficial except whatever Wikipedia's anonymous editors selectively decide to permit and want the viewer to know. Controversy and encyclopedic neutrality are abolished in order to promulgate a corporate-friendly bias that disparages and demonizes all alternatives. Wikipedia's entire non-conventional medical and natural health fields have been thoroughly trashed by anonymous editors with extreme prejudices. Its administrative editors have been given the privilege to destroy reputations and to do so with impunity, including world-renowned physicians who have contributed to the health and well-being of countless people like Drs. Deepak Chopra, David Perlmutter, Gabriel Cousins, and many more. Now with the ties between Wikipedia and Google becoming tighter, and Google giving millions of dollars to Wikipedia, yes, we got the amounts, false propaganda against natural health and further censorship is assured. Google and Wikipedia have taken advantage of some of the weaknesses in the Communications Decency Act to avoid legal actions for defamation and libel. In June, Senator Josh Hawley, that's H-A-W-L-E-Y, introduced a bill that, if passed, would help remedy the Act's faults and open the doors for Russia lawsuits against Wikipedia's foundation. To date, hundreds of lawsuits have been filed against Wikipedia over the years. However, due to loopholes and protections to hide behind its nonprofit registration, the foundation has managed to proceed unscathed. Hopefully, this will change shortly. Wikipedia is every bit as deserving as Google of an open congressional investigation. I would suggest that people who are concerned about the deep state, concerned about the establishment controlling even what people would be able to read or research, that you take our 54 articles, at least take the top five, like I accuse in the article, the letters to Wikipedia's board, because there we detail all the what we conceive as illegalities, and send this to Senator Josh Hawley. We have the information and research others do not. Now we should start to challenge them. I'm Gary Nall. This is posted on PRN.fm. Now we're going to play a clip. This clip is giving us a different perspective on what is behind the Extinction Rebellion. Remember, there's two issues here. One is, do I support protests that identify specific areas that need to be addressed immediately and not by the green capitalists who are controlling Greta and the Al Gores versus who may be behind this, what their agenda may be? We're going to share some of this, and then you can do your homework from there on. Now to the truth about Extinction Rebellion.
Into who runs Extinction Rebellion and links with the telecommunications industry as well as 5G. The material in this video has been well researched, and I am simply sharing what is already in the public domain. Originating from individuals who have been involved in environmental activism for some years and are personally acquainted with people in Extinction Rebellion. With that said, the authors have felt for some time that the groups which make up the climate activism movement are being misdirected away from positive and effective environmental action and instead being pushed towards a narrow set of goals linked to commercial interests. In order to understand an organization or entity, one must first come to an understanding of its founders. Dr. Gail Marie Bradbrook, along with Julian Roger Hallam, appear to be the two primary instigators of the Extinction Rebellion movement. Extinction Rebellion has scored significant publicity, not just on social media, but also on the BBC News and in The Guardian. The movement launched itself very publicly on November the 12th, 2018, with activists gluing themselves to the doors of the Department of Energy offices in London and spray-painting slogans on the windows. Then more recently, in April 2019, shutting down areas of London, costing businesses millions of pounds. They are demanding that the UK government immediately declares a climate and ecological emergency, reduces to zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2025, and creates a citizens' assembly to oversee these changes. They have also encouraged people in other countries to take up their cause. The hope appears to be that the movement will catch on in a similar manner to how the Arab Spring or colour revolutions did, bringing nations to a standstill and thus forcing politicians' hands. Gail Bradbrook, who is the closest person to a leader in the movement, currently works for Citizens Online, which has charity status. Her ex-partner John Fisher founded Citizens Online and is currently the CEO. Fisher used to be in the RAF, was a former director at Swindon Council, and is currently a government advisor. Gail has been working for him since 2003. Here is part of a speech given by Gail Bradbrook at a joint Institute for Public Policy Research and Oxford Internet Institute conference entitled, Whose Responsibility is Digital Inclusion? Let's come clean about Citizens Online and our staff. We describe ourselves as an independent national charity, focusing on the use of information and communications technology by socially excluded communities. But it's all just a cover. In reality, what we actually are secret agents. Secret agents with one purpose in life, to find out what government is really doing with a digital inclusion agenda. So here we have Gail stating that Citizens Online are only describing themselves as an independent national charity, but what they really are secret agents. Next up is Gail's profile from the Citizens Online website. Since winter last year, it was removed from the site, but fortunately, we had it downloaded already. As you can see here, Gail works with EE, which is rolling out 5G this year in the UK. It is unclear precisely when, or more importantly, how Gail transitioned to causes like climate change, but what we do know is that for the past two decades, she has been a favoured activist of the British state, at least when it comes to their digital inclusion and universal internet access agendas. These euphemisms today refer to the 5G Internet of Things rollout, aimed at making sure that absolutely everybody, without exception, gets plugged into the emerging smart grid, which incorporates both military hardware used for crowd control, surveillance and communication systems. The 5G network is primary to this apparatus, an essential component for the scientific management global society, as envisioned and now being assembled all around us by an international oligarchy of techno-industrial and financial elites, the very same people who stand behind the UN and are positioned to become its beneficiaries. Here's another excerpt from Gail Bradbrook's same speech, the same as a secret agent's quote, on the Institute for Public Policy Research website. So who done it? Who really is the government's digital inclusion unit? This investigator begs your indulgence for the arrogance that could be displayed here when I say that I believe Citizens Online have played that role, unofficially and certainly not paid for by government. Who has paid for it? Industry. Our Alliance for Digital Inclusion partners have understood the importance of the strategic coordinating role alongside the delivery of projects on the ground, AOL, BT, Cisco, IBM, Intel, Microsoft, and T-Mobile are all supporting this work. So a plea to the new government, see industry as partners and not as cash cows, and value the knowledge of Citizens Online and our other third sector colleagues. We had to work hard to get it. There you have it. She's admitted that she is funded by the telecommunications industry, the same industry that is rolling out 5G on our streets, as well as having the ear of government many of the directors and trustees of Gale Citizens Online Charity just so happen to be people whose companies stand to make an absolute killing from this 5G rollout, which is covertly promoted by Extinction Rebellion due to its coming under the auspices of the United Nations Agenda 2030, the current rebranding of Agenda 21, which is most often referred to with deceptive simplicity as sustainable development. Indeed, the smart grid 5G infrastructure rollout and the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals are entirely inseparable. When you hear governments or NGOs use the phrase sustainable development, they do not simply mean development that is sustainable. They are in fact referring to a very specific series of policy documents, all of which were designed by the United Nations. Climate policies are one aspect of the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Gail Bradbrook has also spent 2 years working at Business in the Community, a charity run by Prince Charles, which also promotes the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Then in its Digital Deep Dive report, it goes on to promote smart cities, as well as machine learning, AI, and smart urban spaces. Here's Farhana Yamin at the Extinction Rebellion office, who is one of their leading voices. She has spent 27 years in climate negotiations and helped to midwife the 2015 climate agreement to curb greenhouse gas emissions. In her hands is the UN document, A Compendium of Solutions for Achieving the Sustainable Development Goals. On page 77 and 78 of this document, smart meters are promoted as a solution to 5 of the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Of course, there is no mention of the cancer-causing radiation that smart meters emit, neither their tendency to catch fire or ability to spy on you. She's currently a trustee of Greenpeace UK and will soon take up an advisory role at the World Wildlife Fund, both of which are also promoting smart grids and smart meters. These are Extinction Rebellion's 3 demands. We have 3 demands: that the government must tell the truth about how deadly our situation is. It must reverse all policies not in alignment with that position and must work alongside the media to communicate the urgency for change, including what individuals and communities need to do. The government must enact legally binding policy measures to reduce carbon emissions in the UK to zero by 2025 and take further action to remove the excess of atmosphere. It must cooperate internationally so that the global economy runs on no more than half a planet's worth of resources. By necessity, these demands mean an initiative similar to those enacted at times of war. We do not, however, hand further power to our government. We demand a citizens' assembly to oversee the changes as we rise from the wreckage, creating a democracy fit for purpose. The first point is rather vague, since it doesn't tell us how the government will work alongside the media and how much influence it will exert. The second point doesn't explain what legally binding policy measures to reduce carbon emissions will be enacted. Lastly, who gets to decide who is appointed to be a part of the citizens' assembly? And why are they not instead suggesting a constituent assembly, which is more democratic? One of the likely policies resulting from this, developed by the UN's technocratic global governance bureaucracy, it involves establishing worldwide CO2 taxation, which we're being told by the corporate industrial elite is necessary to save the planet. If they get their way, we could see technology which is being pitched as having a low carbon footprint being forced upon us, such as the radiation-emitting LED streetlights, electric cars, and smart meters, which are all part of the 5G rollout. One user messaged Extinction Rebellion via Facebook, recently asking if they could help to stop 5G, and their response was this: Extinction Rebellion's opinion is that the ecological crisis is far more pressing than 5G. That is why Extinction Rebellion is about the ecological crisis. Extinction Rebellion is not about 5G. You may disagree, but that's the way it is. The evidence is plain to see that 5G is an ecological crisis, but the corporate sponsors behind Extinction Rebellion don't want a distraction from their goals. 5G also seems to have escaped the concerns of councils up and down the country who are forcing through their climate emergency action plans, which include the rollout of 5G infrastructure, after cutting down trees in order to claim an area has increased CO2 levels. Infrastructure support services company AIMI, invested in getting the Internet of Things up and running, which is vital for 5G, and is therefore happy to assist with the cutting down of trees, since trees are causing a problem by blocking 5G signals. Back to Gail Bradbrook. Much of Gail's career seems to have been spent sat in corporate conference centres with John Varney, Chief Technology Officer of the BBC, and any number of government and industry talking heads. Here's the guest list from a standard roundtable meeting, the kind which Gail has spent nearly two decades attending. The document begins, on Monday the 7th, June 2004, the Institute for Public Policy Research Digital Society team hosted a private roundtable seminar to discuss forthcoming reforms to central government IT. Gail even had dinner at No. 10 Downing Street to brainstorm on digital inclusion. Our so-called political activist, Dr. Gail Bradbrook, attends these high-level private sector meetings, where she frequently rubs shoulders with telecommunications oligarchs such as Anthony Walker, international business moguls, and highly politicized scientists and other experts who are invariably presented to us in the media as impartial and unbiased. According to his LinkedIn profile, Anthony Walker was responsible for providing public relations and communications consultancy to the European Commission on Environment, Information Society, and Social Fund policy areas, and was also responsible for supporting the Directorate General Environment's Local Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Initiative. As you can see, there's a fine line between Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, or Sustainable Development, as they like to call it, and the techno-corporate oligarchy behind the 5G rollout. When Gail met him, Walker was CEO of the Broadband Stakeholder Group, and he remains Deputy CEO of Tech UK. Here's Walker promoting Greta Thunberg's school climate strike. Walker's Broadband Stakeholder Group recently published a report, tellingly entitled Lowering Barriers to 5G Deployment, which makes recommendations to industry, central government, and local authorities. Seeing how the Broadband Stakeholder Group is comprised of all the biggest telecommunications and mobile network providers, you can be sure that their recommendations are going to be enshrined in policy by the central government. The Broadband Stakeholder Group report even suggests a dedicated task force to hunt down any non-complying local authorities and to make sure they're all keeping in line with the government's desire to be a 5G leader. In the course of its 65 pages, the report mentions neither the mounting scientific evidence pointing to serious health implications of microwave exposure for both humans and animals, and especially those used by the 5G infrastructure, nor the multiple surveillance and privacy concerns. They're getting away with pushing 5G and military-grade smart grid surveillance hardware by wrapping it up in platitudes about resilient cities and sustainable development, and claiming that we need these technologies for environmental monitoring. Everything from air quality control to climate prediction and modelling, what they fail to mention is that these applications are secondary to the mass surveillance and electronic warfare capabilities, and that 5G uses the same hardware, just rebranded, as is currently deployed by coalition forces in the Middle East as crowd control weaponry.
There's more to this, but it's about another 5 minutes, and this is their response today. This is a quote, what does the Extinction Rebellion think of 5G, veganism, nuclear power, and smart meters, and so on? Quote, many people within the Extinction Rebellion will have strong views on all the above, and we want to welcome a variety of views rather than adopting positions on controversial topics. Let me repeat that. Rather than adopting positions on controversial topics, we believe a social movement is best built as a, quote, broad church, and that respectful discussion should take place within the movement on a variety of topics, honoring our principle and value of no blaming and shaming. Extinction Rebellion does not take a position on solutions to the ecological crisis. Let me repeat that. Extinction Rebellion does not take a position on solutions to the ecological crisis. Our third demand is for a citizens' assembly to come up with a way to deal with the crisis, focusing on climate and ecological justice based upon being presented with facts from a variety of experts. We focus on the issues that have a clear body of mainstream science with a large consensus of opinion. For example, biodiversity loss and climate change. There is certainly no conspiracy at the heart of Extinction Rebellion to promote 5G and other technical solutions, and such conspiracy theories are best seen in the light of usual attempts to divide movements and attack spokespersons like the attacks on Greta Thunberg. End quote. All right, that's their position. Well, we have supported that, including showing them interviewing the head of the Extinction Rebellion in our film. What I did not know was the backstory. But then again, when I heard Greta the last time, I said, there's a backstory because she's acting. That is my opinion. Her mother's an opera singer, her dad's an actor, and her uncle is an actor. So you can tell the truth, but if you're coached, and she has, by the way, an agent for acting, then yes, we have to look at this a little differently. For example, she's being used, and anyone can see that. Respect her as a young 16-year-old who has some ideals, who can move people to make changes that we support. But we haven't heard exactly what the changes are. That's why we've been sending her and producing a lot of articles showing what changes can we do without it being corporatized, monetized, and controlled. How do you think a young 16-year-old who's never been to America suddenly is able to go to all the Native Americans this week, the top young Native American women? Would you know how to reach them? Would you be able to call up a reservation and say, do you have a famous 13-year-old? I want to come and do a photo op. Do you understand this doesn't happen? You have to have extremely powerful people who are well-connected in order to find out who you want a photo op with, because that gives you credibility. And then get awards which you have no basis of credibility of having earned them, like a Nobel Peace Prize or an Amnesty International, that crappy little screwball organization. And you don't do this unless you're setting the public up to say, isn't that great? It's great that we're waking up. Don't let them guide the future, because they will control it. And behind the scenes, everywhere, in every movement, you're going to find people who are using legitimate, honest, decent human beings who are trying to make a difference, and yet they're not going to control the outcome. And if you really think having a broad church, quote, and a citizens' assembly works, that is so immature, that is so childish, it's intellectually embarrassing. If you want to see total, complete failure by young narcissist, take an honest look at Citizens United. Excuse me, not Citizens United, but the Occupy Wall Street. And what good did that do? What change occurred because of it? Where have we had any legitimate change in the last 50 years in the environmental movement? And one of your people are working with the World Wildlife Fund? We just condemned them yesterday. And some of the other organizations at the UN, I did a 22-minute speech on Earth Day, and listened to it, downloaded it. And the whole room was filled with environmental groups, and I put them on notice. You take money from polluters, you give yourself big salaries, and what exactly have you gone against? And why not? And then we take a look, and I show them. Money's coming in because they have to give that information with the Secretary of State, were from polluters, and suddenly they wouldn't touch an area where a polluter had given them money. So we will continue to support the activists who are bringing attention to the urgency of climate change and global warming. That does not mean that we're naive enough to assume that those behind the scenes have the same humanistic values. I'm Gary Nolan. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.